That is the greatest ending note right there.
You have to leave this part in now.
Yeah, dude, I'm going to edit this probably in somewhere. I don't know, maybe beginning. Turn into like an NCIS thing where, you know, they show the end right before the break at the beginning.
Yep. Oh, Laz, you watch NCIS?
I don't, my parents do.
I thought you were 26, not 86. Jesus.
I like that show sometimes.
Yeah.
Only in marathon format.
You just watch for the goth girl.
A little bit.
I'm Seg, alongside Slowbird and Pax. We are Race Night.
You're listening to Hot 97 on Race Night.
You're listening to Manatee Radio. Yeah.
So I guess I'm the straight man on this podcast, huh?
Apparently. You're the one who hates us all for being goddamn nerds.
Don't make assumptions about me.
My name is Pax Morte on Xbox Live. I go by Zach Leverton in real life. I guess we should all start by letting everyone know who we are.
Yeah, which would mean Slowbird is next now, I think, because...
Yeah, well, let's do a general one before we move on.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure, I'll let you go on, because actually we do need to introduce what the hell RaceNet is so people aren't confused as to what we are. That would be nice.
Around 2009, a game came out called Forza 3. I don't know if you know, but it was really good. very good video game website called GiantBomb.com had a forum for Forza 3 along with every other video game that exists ever. And Pax Morte, came on to the Forza 3 forums and found that there was a European race night. Now, I have a life, so I started an American race night. And oddly enough, just as the European race night started to teeter off, me and Laz began to really gain a following for our Thursday night 10:30 throwdowns. Mostly just out of the idea that we don't take things too seriously. We, in fact, actively seek to not to be clowns, to have fun. Video games are fun, cars are fun, and that's the mission statement of Race Night, and I assume this podcast. So that's
video games.
Yeah, absolutely, damn straight. That's exactly our. So you and we should make that very clear that PAX there is the freaking founder of RaceNet, even though I act like the moderator and leader and everything. He just got sick of opening the lobbies 3 weeks in and just handed it to me.
This is what people need to understand. Just because I'm listed as the founder doesn't mean I do anything.
You are the founder and Laz is the CEO.
Trace here does all the work. It is Race Night is ostensibly his, and I would not take that away from him. The only time I ever invoke the power of being the founder is when it's convenient to me, because I'm that kind of guy.
Absolutely. And with that said, let's turn it to the guy who desperately wants to be the number one driver, the flagship product of Forza Race Night. Mr. Slowbird here. Slowbird, introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Slowbird. First name Steve, last name Austin. That's a lie.
He also makes bad jokes.
First name Strong, last name Bad. Also a lie.
Really bad jokes.
All right. Ugh. I'm Nick, and that's all you need to know, because you'll never find out where I live.
He lives in Murderville.
Yes.
I should also make it clear to the audience that we all know that Slowbird makes very bad jokes, and that's why I had to get Pax in on this, because otherwise I would not be able to survive this hour.
They are sometimes bad and sometimes the best, and also bad at the same time.
Ah, dear.
I refuse to go along with that. They're just terrible.
Basically, I think every group has to have a whipping child that we kind of poke fun at even though we love him. And for us, Slowbird is that guy.
I'm that guy in every group I've ever been in.
You serve the group purpose so well. So well!
I'm typecast.
Yeah, you know. You can break out sometime, but you actually have to get funny then.
Oh,
I am a son of a bitch. All right, now I should introduce myself then. I'm basically editing these podcasts, and I run the lobbies at Forza Race Night. You're going to hear me referred to as Laz sometimes, Trace other times, but you can call me Seg.
P-Seg.
Yeah, or basically as they say for Giant Bomb and everything else, when I try to introduce myself to people in person, peace egg. Because Ryan Davis will otherwise give you a blank look. That was an awkward PAX East moment.
How was PAX East?
PAX East was pretty fun. I mean, I kind of got oversold on Shift 2 Unleashed in the process of trying stuff out, but between that and a little bit of iRacing fun and way too much walking that got me ungodly sick for a month, it was a lot of fun. I mean, that's a crazy thing, too. So the Penny Arcade guys are talking about how many miles they actually walked because they were all wearing pedometers and the like.
Yeah, they were running their vocal walkers.
And it ended up being the guys who walked the most were like 26 to 32 miles or something like that, I thought, at least, maybe more.
Wow. I can't walk that much in a month.
Exactly, and I know I was walking around that convention hall quite often, just scouting out food courts that were too expensive, games that were taken, games I wasn't interested in, eating chicken while staring at Jeff Green's head. I'm not
like
lying
to
about
stare
that.
At Jeff Green's head a lot.
Yeah, I literally was eating chicken and fries and staring at the back of his head while he was trying to talk to somebody about Plants vs. Zombies. That was an awkward moment. But yeah, so basically I think I walked probably at least 20 miles or so around that whole freaking convention center and got really damn sick.
Nice.
Ugh.
But Shift 2 was interesting. They really oversold that with the idea that Time Attack was all they were trying to show to people. And it's really good for Time Attack until you get into multiplayer and all of a sudden the collision is so bad that you can hit somebody and they don't, you know, you don't feel it at all. And they don't know that, you know, you had about 30 feet on them, and magically they spin out. And it's the same with AI, too, so that's a fucked up game.
Yeah,
glad
yeah.
I didn't fight on that one.
I gave Shift 2 a try, and I really didn't care for it. I think the problem that Need for Speed has with the Shift franchise is that those boots are already filled on any console that game appears on. It's filled by a litany of realistic racing games on the PC. It's filled quite handsomely by Forza on the 360. And even though it may, in my opinion, be a better game than Gran Turismo 5 on the PS3, PlayStation players are always going to opt for Gran Turismo because of the history of that franchise.
Right.
Yeah. So what's like I thought that Hot Pursuit was great. I had a great time with that. I think this new game they've got coming out, The Run, is exactly what Need for Speed should be. The only racing game with cutscenes and a story.
Fast and the Furious, the video game.
Exactly. Like, I want Razor Callahan. That's all. Just give me Razor Callahan.
Well, it's like there's certain specialties that the Need for Speed series has these days, and it's either Hot Pursuit or schlocky drama-type stuff with cars that we normally get from Fast and Furious, but now, since those are basically heist movies, we get them from our video games, like, you know, Razor Callahan's, all his stuff, and now The Run, hopefully.
I'm waiting for Need for Speed The Heist.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not... They're going to do that now. You know that.
I hope so.
And it's going to be Razor Callahan teaming up with some ungodly, Sergeant Cross and everyone, and got to raid those banks.
You are not unselling me on this premise.
I'm just thinking it's going to be a ripoff of GTA 4, except with less Nico Bellic and more just generic white guy.
Sounds good to
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Racist.
Will The Rock be in it, and will he have a crazy beard?
Will the generic white guys be less mopey than Nico Bellic?
Just wait until the Spy Hunter crossover packs.
There's no way they could be any more mopey than Nico Bellic.
That's what I need, Spy Hunter 3.
Yeah, Spy Hunter 3, starring The Rock. Mix it in with Razor Callahan, Sergeant Cross, and all that. And I will not buy this game, but you guys can go ahead and do so.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I say we put the race night for that game Thursday nights at 10:30.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
But ciao.
So let's talk about what went down this last race night. Pax, you were not there for the beginning of it, since we do this thing every now and then as part of our daily dose, or weekly dose, I should say, of serious business racing to get it out of our system so we can...
And self-loathing.
Self-loathing, serious business, just so we can get it out of our systems and we can get back to goofing off and having fun afterwards.
And more self-loathing.
Well, yeah, that too, but beyond that... Because, let's face it, I usually detest racing sim communities and what they become with always focusing too much on getting the laps down and getting the time trials perfect. I just want to choose some random cars, choose a random track, and just have a lot of fun without much practice or setup or anything like that. But there's still a little bit of fun in doing that a little bit, not like focusing the entire race night on it, or focusing the entire race night on series points and IndyCar scoring and push to pass.
Just spending like 3 days getting ready for it and then blowing it all out in an hour or so.
Yeah, exactly. Just put like 30 minutes to an hour into it, and then the rest of the time is spent just having fun.
Or thinking about next week while other people race around you while you're racing.
You're putting too much effort into this, Slowbird, I swear to God.
I will put so much effort into it that you won't be able to measure the amount of effort because it will be off the charts.
Well, you're already... Thanks to your effort as of recent, you've become the championship points leader once again.
I can't believe that I'm not clinching yet.
You're not going to clinch until the end of tomorrow.
I'm going to be formulating scenarios after the sprint race to see where I need to finish for the feature race, aren't I?
Jeez, don't do that.
But
here's what happened. We were at... The track was Ladera Short Reverse, which... For those of you who don't know the tracks by name or
all
by configuration, yeah, all of you, which is fair. It's a very short track, very narrow in its racing line, so passing is a bitch.
It also likes to push you back onto the track if you get off of it a little bit. It's got that weird pull, sort of, on the corners. Like that slow pavement that kind of pushes you back onto the racetrack.
I don't know if it's that or if it's just it's banked on the sides a little bit, so it helps ease you back in. But it's also got a lot of slow sections that'll automatically slow your car down if you get a little too far out.
And a wicked hill.
Very bumpy curbs.
Yes.
Which are not good if you set your suspension ungodly low like I did.
I lowered mine the lowest, but then softened it a lot softer.
Oh, geez. See, I lowered mine down to like the second to lowest setting on your advice, because you were talking to me about that, how you did that. I couldn't get it all the way down to the lowest without just completely losing control, even when I softened a bit. So I just said, okay, screw that, reset my whole suspension to basically what it was during the beginning of the season, dropped it down, everything was fine.
My suspension is the inception of suspension. We need to go softer. Softer.
This podcast is over.
We're off to a good start.
We are not off to a good start. We are so completely scattered. But anyways, so I ended up doing the strategy. We have two sets of races each round. One is a sprint race, which is quick, brutal, and no damage, so we end up bashing each other around. I made a point to bash Slowbird off the track any chance I could get.
A little bit, but I deserved it.
You did, because I didn't want you scoring points.
I kind of did, like, not block you, but, like, did not leave you any room to actually pass.
There was one of the, where I was completely on your outside as we were going through turn. I had the inside of the next little kink in the turn.
Yeah.
And you kind of pushed me off into the slow stuff.
Yeah, I did, kind of.
That's okay. Because we kind of made up for the next race. Because in the feature race, I got bashed up pretty bad in the back of the pack and decided to make a very early pit stop so I could get some clear track to run.
And I thought there's no way that would work.
And somehow it actually did. I ended up going from dead last all the way to second place on an early pit stop.
Yep. I pitted too late and got caught in traffic before the pit stop, and I never made it up.
Yeah, I was watching the replay of that. You were pushing your way through traffic, and it was slowing you down really bad.
Yeah, it definitely did. And I got damaged, which slowed me down even more.
Yeah, I mean, you weren't as damaged as I was at the end. I was bashing people pretty crazy. It's just, I intentionally put in the mandatory pit stop in feature races, which are about 20 minutes in length for those watching or listening. And I was hoping it would have that kind of strategy to it, where people would go in the pits at certain times or not in order to try and lead a lap for bonus points or to try and gain positions on pit road. And this is the only time that's actually amounted to anything useful.
Well, because at Maple Valley, you did use it to lead a lap by pitting real late. So that's
but that's about the only way it actually benefits. It's always just been, okay, if I stay out long enough, eventually everybody else is going to pit and I'll lead a lap. And as long as you don't fall off the pace too far, that usually works out. But In this case, it was literally, okay, I have clear track ahead of me. I can drive as fast as I want to without somebody blocking me up. And I gained enough time to get ahead of five guys, which is nice. But in the end, Falcon won that race, won the sprint race, and Jugnuts wins the feature race by a long shot.
Yeah. Yeah, he dominated that. I gave Falcon that tuning setup, by the way.
Aha, that would explain. So it comes out to the point standings now being, it's a three-horse race as we go into New York for the finale. It's going to be...
die.
Yeah, Slowbird is still got a good enough lead where if he ends up winning, you know, one or both the races, he's got a good chance of locking up the championship. Jugnuts is in second. He just basically needs to beat Slowbird and prevent him from performing well, or hope he doesn't perform well. And I'm in even the worst boat. I have to win and then hope Slowbird doesn't even get close to the front.
I just have to hope you all crash and then none of us will score any points.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
What?
It's not going to happen. I'm not crashing. I know
everyone's going to crash.
New York has chicanes. I am not going to crash on them.
Someone else will crash on them and get stuck in one of them sideways.
I will drive past them. I will find a way.
Someone else will crash into the someone you dodge and be stuck right next to them and block the entire width of the track.
Anyways, Slowbird leads and Jugnuts is in the catbird seat.
What does that mean?
I don't even know what that
why
means.
Why is it
I
a,
like
catbird,
saying
seat.
A catbird seat?
Okay, Daryl Waltrip.
That's during the NASCAR stuff, and then Daryl Waltrip picked it up and started using it. And I hate NASCAR, but I love it when they're idiots, so I just keep saying catbird seat.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
Oh, I don't even know why I brought him up here.
This podcast
NASCAR
over.
2012, coming soon.
yeah, get your pre-orders and trade-ins in.
Seriously, when the NASCAR 2011 game drops to like $10, we should all just buy it and have one race night with it.
On principle, the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is no.
I'm buying it. You guys don't have to.
No, we don't have to, and we're not going to.
Yeah.
If I mailed you copies, would you put it in your disk drive?
Nope.
For
5
minutes?
Nope.
Then I'd have to get the achievements.
So?
It's not even about that.
How
it's
hard could it be?
It's NASCAR via Activision. Those are two things I hate.
If you buy it used, they don't get your money.
Yeah, but then I'm giving money to GameStop, who I work for and hate.
eBay.
I hate them too.
Yeah.
Amazon.
No. You
can't possibly hate Amazon.
I don't hate Amazon, but no.
Okay, so after the whole GBGT race, which I think we've covered that well enough for this week.
Never.
Yeah. Anyway, Slowbird's doing well there. Then we started just going through normal race day stuff. I'm going to start running through. I actually wrote down extra notes about the kind of races we were running last week and want to get your thoughts on some of this stuff.
Yes.
PT Cruisers on Nürburgring.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there yet.
Things went better than expected.
That was an awesome race. I'm not going to debate that. It was good, despite what people said.
Not as good as when we had someone in a faster car punting us randomly, though.
That's right. We had the one time where, I don't know what he was driving. Was it an NSX?
Yes, it was.
Okay, there was one guy driving an NSX because he didn't want a PT Cruiser or something for some reason.
Yeah, he just didn't like our cool style.
Oh, that's right, because I had said, yeah. Eventually, it was like, happy PT Cruiser people, and then...
Not
another
happy,
group that were
sad
NSX drivers.
Okay, that guy can get banned from race night. How about that?
He's currently banned from having the money for Xbox Gold, so...
Yeah.
What a friggin' loser.
That's not nice. He might be listening.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe you should have gotten a fucking PT Cruiser, you ass monkey.
Ouch. No, it worked out, because it was a pretty amazing spectacle.
It was interesting, but you know, I'm not much for the whole bashing people around tracks thing.
And if you're going to bash someone, like, it can't be PT Cruisers against some fucking, whatever, NSX or Celica. Make it something crazy and big and heavy. Give me a fucking, like, an A-class DMC or something.
There we go.
Audi Q7.
Yep.
There we go. Yeah. But all in all, actually, it was a 10-minute race because PT Cruisers are ungodly slow.
Yep.
But it was fun. I thought they handled pretty well. It was a close race at the end.
I think those are not
Cavill's bumper at the end.
Yeah. I think those are not the turbo, are they?
I don't think they are. I think somebody said they were during the race night, but I really don't think they're turbocharged.
We should just bolt turbos on them and call them the turbo version and see how that goes. No other mods, just turbo.
The Jeremy Clarkson method, write turbo on the side of your PT Cruiser. It'll make it go faster.
Yep.
See, now I'm wondering. It's a Chrysler product. I wonder what kind of engines you can drop in a PT Cruiser.
Crossfire version V6, probably.
Well, that'd be putting a Crossfire engine to good use for once.
More like always.
Well, yeah, I mean, actually, Crossfires are actually more successful than I imagined. For a car that otherwise sucks.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, God, I'm looking at something. This is surprising to me that usually when we do race night, we don't run classes like R3 or R2, the racing classes. But PAX, you demanded them this week.
I just missed my McLaren MP4. Okay. That was literally the reasoning. I wanted to drive my fastest Corvette, and that was the reason for R2.
Gotcha. Which it actually worked out pretty well. And I think for R2 is where we went on Sunset Peninsula in reverse, which is kind of like a Daytona-type track with a gigantic oval and a curving infield.
Itty-bitty infield, yes.
Itty-bitty infield. But it's kind of technical, but more just fast.
Yeah.
And yeah, that is a lot of fun. I was in a Mazda Fury, and...
Yes.
God, I love that car. I love that car for going fast, even if it's slow as hell on straightaways.
It's a go-kart. It's a giant go-kart.
It really is, because it's like when I went to the infield sections where he had little chicanes, I just held the gas pedal down and figured, okay, either I'm going to wuss out and just go too slow around this stuff and struggle to get back on the gas, or I can hold the gas down and steer through it, holding on to my life, and if I crash, I crash. And it stuck through my crazy driving, so I was happy about that.
Yeah, my Corvette's really wide, and I'm never used to how wide Corvettes are, but I'll never stop driving them because I love them.
Yeah.
Every time I drive a Lamborghini, I end up hitting the wall on that track because the back end just sticks out, and I always try to get close to the wall on the exit of that turn on the oval.
There's that sort of wide bank that goes into the last stretch, and I'm sure everyone does this. You try to skirt past the tire wall that separates the pit from the road.
Yes.
You try to get as close to it as possible, just 'cause. And it can be varying degrees of success. If you're in a Corvette, I don't recommend it.
Yeah, that tire wall, and I should say this is a tip for anybody who's in the Forza 3, that tire wall between the pit road and the infield on going onto the oval, get as close to that as you can. That will save you 2-3 seconds.
Yep.
But then again, if you hit it, then you basically ruin your race. But it's fun to watch.
It's kind of like Maple Valley's front straightaway in that way.
Yeah, I guess in a sense. There's a little less gutsiness to Maple Valley, how you go around that section.
Yeah.
But Maple Valley is very fast like that, too. And then looking at this list here, we did Shelby Daytona Coupes downhill on Fujimi Kaido. That was something else.
Yeah, that was interesting. Those Daytona Coupes are nice. They're nice cars. I didn't think they would handle as well as they did because we used the 427 Cobras, and those things have tires made of ice.
Yeah, they do. I mean, 427 Cobras are a pain in the ass to steer, but the Daytona Coupes, at least amongst their own, drive very well.
Yeah.
Downforce.
Downhill and that sort of thing. But here's the thing is, the problem they have is that when you put them against like newer cars in those classes, they just fail miserably.
Even with mods?
I've tried putting a little bit of mods on the Shelby Daytona Coupe I have, which, for the record, for anybody listening, they're $10 million to buy in-game, so they're very goddamn expensive.
Yeah, if I wanted one, I would have had to buy Forza 3 brand new, not 8 months late.
Yeah, exactly. And in my case, I think it's worth it, but for competitive purposes, yeah, they're not going to be competitive with other cars in the area.
Yeah, I sort of lucked out. Most of the cars that I love are relatively cheap.
There you go.
I'm glad I'm not a Ferrari fan. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, actually, now you say that, you like collecting Lamborghinis, Pax. What's up with that?
I have them all. I don't know. I think I love crazy cars. I love cars when they're crazy. And I also love underdogs, and that's kind of what, at least before it was bought by Audi, that's kind of what Lamborghini has represented, is like, you know, we're not Ferrari, but fuck, we're scrappy. Like, we make cars that are crazier than anything you've ever fucking seen. And I've always had great success with them. I won the Murcielago was the first A-class car I ever got, because you get it through leveling up.
Right.
And I played with that car so goddamn much. I think if I sell it now with the few upgrades I've put into it, it would have to sell for millions based on just the mileage I put into it alone. And I bought every other one. There are Lambos that I've never used, but I own them because I just thought I should. I own every Mustang, I own every Camaro, and I own almost everything from Dodge except for their touring car stuff.
Interesting. I that is gutsy to have every Mustang and every Camaro, considering how useful those really are not during races.
I'm pretty sure I have like 3 of the 93 Mustangs, and those are basically worthless.
Yeah, I know, but
I love them.
Like, yeah, like my A-class Mustang, the one I used for the GB100. I love that car. It might not win a lot of races, but it did pretty goddamn well in the GB100, and I love how that car looks, because it's insane and it stands out. But it still looks like a car, you know?
Right, yeah.
Like, I think the early, the late 90s, early 2000 Mustangs are the most gorgeous sports cars America's produced since the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that, and the problem with that is that you really have to change your driving style when you're in one of those cars. You have to be really easy on the gas. Basically you're driving by the gas pedal.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, I mean, anyone who knows me knows I will take old American muscle over anything, any day. The mascot for GBPRN is still my B-class Charger, because that car, to me, and I think to a lot of other people, represents what Race Night is about, which is, yeah, it's retarded, but it's so much fun, and it's silly, and that's why it works.
Yeah, and for the record, GBPRN is such an old, antiquated term. Just call it Race Night. We are Race Night. There's a Gran Turismo 5 Race Night. They're cool people, but we run Forza. We ran Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
They're more like Race Afternoon, anyway.
That's true.
Anyway.
I don't know. The muscle's okay. It's just you really have to focus down when driving those cars, which is not necessarily bad, because you can really beat the pants off guys if you have it tuned for the straight lines on certain tracks.
At this point, we all know every course in that game like the back of our hand.
Yes.
So I get more pleasure out of driving a car that fights back a little, that is interesting to drive, because just driving down Iberian for the billionth time isn't interesting to me anymore. So even if I'm not winning, because I'm fighting with my car, I'm having fun fighting with my car.
Yeah, see, for me, I find more of an excitement in, you know, pulling around people like Slowbird or getting a pass on Kevl or something like that than actually just challenging the car in those situations. For me, it's the getting the side-by-side racing and close racing going.
That will never happen for me.
I was going to say, I kind of like both. I like the challenge of running every lap as fast as possible, but I also, but only generally when there's no one around, and when people are around, I like passing them a lot.
Yeah, see, for the time trial aspect, I kind of like single-player racing a little more in that way, because I don't like AI. It's cold, it's heartless, and it prevents me from getting my achievements.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, and it's like, if there was something about it, if just, you know, finish so many races, or just finish all these series, you know, don't worry whether you win or not.
Yeah.
And just having a side achievement for, oh, you won 250 races, you know, don't worry about having to win anymore.
Yeah.
Then I wouldn't worry so much about it, but they never design achievements like that, and nor do I think they're ever going to.
No. There's always going to be the guy out there who will play a game 600 hours to get that achievement that no one else wants to bother with.
Yeah, and I'm going to be that guy with Forza 3, since there is a solid gold achievement for, I think I calculated it out, it was including drag races and all those short stints. It's about 1,300 races you run.
It's a lot. It's like you do the season play and you're not even like 40% done with it.
Right. And I'm at 90% right now, and it's just that last 10% that's going to be a pain in the butt for me.
All I have left is a bunch of R1 and R2 crap.
Yeah.
I have a friggin' legion of events to still do.
I hate driving in R1s against the AI.
Yeah, no kidding. That is, they are assholes.
Yeah. I had to turn the braking line back on to do some of this.
What do you guys think for Forza 4? Do they do the same thing? Do they just stick to that?
You know, what I would like to see in a future Forza, for single player at least, is rather than just give me 220 different types of events, you know, focus it down. Go to all the series you represent. Give me the V8 supercars. Give me the GT3.
Do an ALMS type series.
You know, give me the Clio Cup. Yeah, just, you know, give me
Grand Am. Those are my favorite events. Are the model specific or the type specific events like the Coupe Cups or the Mustang Cups?
They're gonna have 16 cars allegedly. So do some multi-class. Do multi-class racing.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. If you gave me, you know, here's the same championship run either class or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I would be totally cool with it. I don't see that innovation when you're dividing, you know, all your different types of events up so vastly that you've got 220 events sitting there, and there's very little variation between all of them. At that point, it's just focus on what you have for distinct series. Make some really good races for all those, and if somebody runs through all your single-player content, say, good, here's some leaderboards to focus on, you can make your own races, and here's multiplayer, you should be using it.
I think a good approach...
No more spec races.
I think a good approach would be the sort of a world map kind of thing. Like, give us like Dirt 2 had this. You have a world map, and then you have America, Europe, and Asia, and there are events just sort of checkered all over, and you know what you're getting into. Like, you know, Nuremberg will be one check, and there will be multiple events on Nuremberg, but, you know what you're getting into because you clicked on a European thing, so it's going to be touring and stuff like that.
Just kind of recreate Jarrett and Labonte stock car racing, which is a touring car game. Don't ask why.
I also need that old British dude who narrates to go, "You really nailed that challenge, bro," whenever I do something.
Oh, God. woohoo, that I got your money, Dirt 2. Yeah, well, here's the thing about, I mean, I like that idea, but let me take it a step further. If Gran Turismo 2, I think it was, did this sort of, but have that world map, and when you go down the tracks, have it be like you could go to a track day for a club racing event. That'd be the short, like, 5-minute races you can do.
Yeah.
With weak cars that are basically stock, and then you go from there up into, like, more racing series stuff, which might stay on one track, it might go around the region. And that'd be stuff where the AI would start to upgrade their cars a little bit, put some racing decals on, and they'd be all fancy and stuff.
They've got to add AI that aren't just stock, standard painted cars.
Exactly. Yes. They really need to, because that way you get this feeling of moving up when you're going through the ranks, because eventually you should be in a series that takes you around the world.
Yes.
Yeah, one thing I really hope they don't do is this sort of Gran Turismo style of let's just throw everything in the pot and see what sticks. Like, let's have rallying, let's have this, let's have that. I would love to see open wheel racing. I would love to see I don't want the prototype cars to go away, but I want to keep it on tarmac tracks. I don't need street racing. I don't need
maybe they could include a DLC dirt track for the trucks and just for us to play online, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't even know about that at this point. I mean, I don't think they need to have any off-road stuff. I think they could just let other series that are really good and gifted at that, like Dirt, or even if they wanted to bring back Rally Sport Challenge and get DICE out of, you know, their situation with EA, and or maybe Prod EA, hey, guys, you've got DICE. They're kind of good at that stuff.
Ever since I played Grand Theft Auto 4, I've become a big fan of really good game developers that say, you know what, we're going to take away the buffet, but here's some really good steak. Like, you don't need a million sort of bland things if we can get one thing so right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. If GTA 4 is steak, then I'd rather have the buffet.
All right, we're not getting into this argument.
All right, yeah. I just like parachuting onto a vast land, that's all.
Okay. I don't know. It's GTA 4. I have issues with it, so...
I never finished it.
That's not really race night. Although it could be, I guess, at some point.
We could do a multiplayer race night in that game.
I'm a goddamn wheel man. I'll take you guys.
That game has great damage effects on the cars.
It is quite fun in that regard, yeah.
I love just sliding into things backwards to see my trunk all smashed in, because that's always the way you do it in a demo derby.
Yes.
Trunk first.
But I think that idea of, you know, focus down on the tarmac stuff, let someone else deal with the dirt stuff. I mean, I know the whole jack-of-all-trades idea is very tempting, but I think they should avoid it. And, you know,
every time a franchise in any genre tries to do the jack-of-all-trades thing, that's when they fall apart.
You know what Forza needs? Snowboarding.
Yeah.
God. You know what they need? They need to put the cars on the mountain like Ken Block would, snowboard down, but you got to be careful where you snowboard because some places have no oxygen and you can die.
SSX
Forza! Deadly Descent!
This is amazing!
God, I hate the game industry sometimes. Not really, but I'm just saying that. Because the game industry wouldn't be dumb enough to come up with that idea.
Maybe.
Just wait until they do, then we can make fun of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, just have the different tracks, have their little track times and club racing stuff, and then on the side also in each location, they ought to have, like, dealers. I mean, not like Gran Turismo, you know, here's where you have to go to buy your cars, but, you know, go to the dealer and see, if, you know, this is where you get contingency sponsorship races and that sort of thing. If I want to go race an SRT4 Cup or something like that or a Viper Cup, I go to America and I go right to Michigan for the Dodge dealership stuff.
Not to go back to Codemasters, but Grid did that exceedingly well. That sort of like, here are three disciplines, there are sub-disciplines within them, and you have a ton of options in terms of sponsorship, co-drivers, all that jazz. I thought Dirt Grid did a lot of stuff really well, and, you know, Forza does a lot of different stuff exceedingly well, and I do think Forza 3 is the better game in the end, but there's something to learn there, because if there's one complaint that can be fairly leveled against Forza Motorsport 3, it's that its campaign is bland as shit. There's no real sense of progression other than watching the checks go by on your screen and getting more money, and there's no real sense of... Yeah, the whole thing is a grind, where... Playing Grid, I beat Grid, and there was always a sense of accomplishment when I beat a race, when I unlocked a new discipline or a new tier, when I got to the point where sponsors were interested in me. Like, we have this great paint system. Why not integrate that into gameplay? If I have if I have a Shell logo on my hood,
it should give you money.
Give me more money if I win the race.
Yeah,
well, you could actually. That's an interesting idea, because there are legitimate contingency sponsorships like that in races. Have maybe tie in some of the bonus money, and this is getting kind of really crazy racing sim spurging territory, but still, this is kind of a neat idea. If I put like a Sunoco logo on the side of my car, and I end up doing well in a race, I'm eligible for a $5,000 bonus, or...
Yeah, no, that's that's what, I don't know if you guys played Grid, but that's what Grid did, is as you went, you would gain
sponsors.
Gotta
go buy Grid now.
And you could choose where the sponsors were. You could have you could choose a sponsor that they would always have an offer in terms of money for where they'd be if they were the main sponsor or a sub sponsor.
If they're a main sponsor,
at the end of every single race, there would be a list of conditions that your main sponsor had for giving you money.
NASCAR games have had that for a while.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah. And it would check off everything you did and didn't do and give you extra money accordingly, as well as your position. So stuff like that, like Forza has done a great job of sort of taking a lot of ideas from other racing games and integrating them in a way that makes more sense than those guys did. And Grid is a game that is very good, but has a lot of really integral problems, not the least of which is really shitty online.
Well, yeah.
But if, you know, if Forza is an aggregate kind of game where it takes ideas and refines them, then that's a really good idea.
So Forza is a search engine for racing games.
It's the Google of racing games.
I mean, I'd like to continue to see the idea that it does there. And
what if Google made a rival racing game to it?
Oh, Jesus Christ. That sounds just as bad as M&M Racer. But I like the idea that NASCAR and Grid do with that sort of sponsorship stuff. I don't think it needs to necessarily even go that far. I think if you just had put this logo on the side of your car and you get a bonus like you would with Forza 2's rarity bonus, or, you know, just basically some of the bonus money you'd normally get from turning difficulty up in Forza 3. Just give me, like, I'll add 2.5% on to whatever your winnings are if you put this on the side of your car properly and everything.
By the way, did anyone find the AI in Forza 3 to be noticeably easier than Forza 2?
I have never played Forza 2.
I'd say yeah, but I'm not sure if it's that I've improved my driving immensely or what it is. I think one of the issues, and this is something else that a lot of people like to pan on about Forza 3, and I think they're completely and utterly wrong, is the reverse functionality, being able to rewind a race and
that's true.
Improve yourself, because that actually helps you improve immensely.
That was an idea that Codemasters came up with, and I thought it was fucking brilliant. The only problem I had with it in the Codemasters game was that it was limited, and there was no reason to limit it. And Forza 3 addressed that. It was like, why do we limit it? There's no reason to make these guys grind through the level again. Just like adventure games stopped making you do the entire level when you die and give you checkpoints throughout. That's what this is. The people who complain about that are the people who complained about Prince of Persia, the 2008 version, where like, oh, you can't die. It's the same thing without a load time. If anything, they're saving you time.
And it's not like you have to use it either.
No, exactly. And that's the thing, is that it depends on what your goal is. A lot of people will have the goal that no matter what happens in this race, I'm going to finish first, and I will do whatever it takes to finish first, even if that means restarting this race 10 times over.
Sure.
And why not just make it easier for them? You know, if I make a mistake in this one turn in a 10-lap race, and this is the only mistake I've made, how about I reverse it out, I learn from this mistake immediately by actually correcting it right on the spot,
or
and then
do,
I get my goal.
Doing it about 14 times.
Yeah, it's like what happened in Forza 2 with me is I would set the AI down easy because I would blow past them and I'd lap them multiple times, but I could not trust myself because there's a chance that during a 50-lap race at Sebring, I could accidentally nick the wall and damage my car, and then I have to go in the pit, and that'd be 3 minutes off my time right there.
Yep.
And, you know, that's understandable in your reality. That, that would suck, and you would have to pay the price. But my goal is I am going to win this race and be done with it. So if that puts me in a situation where I can never recover and get first place again, I'm going to quit the race at that point and start all over. And that's could be up to 30 minutes of time lost, if not an hour of time lost.
If that's once that stuff started to happen in Forza 2's campaign, I just kind of didn't do those races again sometimes. And I never finished the campaign in that.
Okay, I went all gold eventually, but yeah, there are situations like that. But it's a shame because then I didn't get the experience, the hard AI, or get to even challenge myself because I didn't want to. I didn't want to risk damaging my car or having to restart races over and over again. And part of that is because the season mode is so bland, as we've been discussing.
Yeah.
But and I think that's a problem with all racing sims, Gran Turismo, Forza, and you know even some of the others. Codemasters does a great job differentiating and making everything unique and interesting to an extent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without overloading.
I think that we're getting to a point where a story mode is only – like a single player is important in the context of like I want to test drive a car – I want to get extra money whenever I feel like it, and that's great. But I think that games are slowly starting to reach a point where you need a narrative of some kind. I think Mortal Kombat, the new one, is genius because you have that standard arcade ladder mode, and then you have a full-on 8-hour story, just like you'd get in Assassin's Creed, just like you'd get in Uncharted 2.
It's actually making me want to play a fighting game. That's the friggin' story mode.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think if you you could have a Forza where it's like, here's a list of events, go ahead, do your thing. There's only 100 of them. There's not 220. But we do have this story mode where your name is, you know, Chase Bannon, and you're a rookie car driver, and, you know, you get a sweet deal with Ford, and, you know, tell us a story. Like,
I have a great fondness for racing games with story modes.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know if you have to go that far necessarily for a sim racer, because that kind of is shades of pro race driver, which the story in that was pretty bad.
Well, yeah, you have to do at least a little better than that.
That was more British people trying to pretend like they knew what NASCAR was, and here's a race going on in Michigan. Oh no, this guy rolled over and he's dead, and somehow the guy who hit him isn't being prosecuted.
I liked when they did the big rigs racing, but they used American big rigs for it instead of the European big rigs.
Oh God, yeah.
So it was like the Ford 9000 big rig truck.
That doesn't mean the idea of a car game with a story mode is bad.
Oh,
that
no.
means those guys just did a bad job of it.
Yeah, they
right.
did.
I think it's just you can make it more abstract than making it specifically you are this guy.
Sure.
I am me. But I am going to work my way up through club racing. I'm going to attract sponsors by driving well and give it, you know, you can just make it so that you are this, you know, still this unknown guy, but you're still moving up. And
yeah, F1 2010 did such a brilliant job of sort of balancing that. Yeah, it's a racing game and you pick your race and you go, but also like there is stuff that happens outside that you have to deal with, like I don't know if either of you guys picked F1 2010 up, but
I did not.
I read reviews.
Yeah, every time you finished a big race, you would be interviewed by the press.
That sounds awesome.
And they would ask you questions, like something like Mass Effect, where you'd have to answer them, and there was no clear right or wrong answer, but the way you answered would not only affect how your team treated you, but how other sponsors looked at you. At the very beginning, it like the opening cutscene is a press conference, and a woman says like, "So what's your name? Who are you? You're this hot new rookie, but we don't even know who you are." So that's when you put in your name, and then it says, "What team will you be racing for?" And it gives you a list of like the lower teams, like Lotus and Red Bull and yada yada, and
Toro
based
Rosso.
On yeah, Toro Rosso, that's right. And based on those choices, like, I picked Lotus because I knew that because I was sticking with British cars, eventually McLaren would come calling, and that's what happened.
Nice.
And because I was really gracious about, like, because my answer was always, oh, my team did all the work, I love my team, they're so great, yada, 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 I love my co-driver, I love my team, that got me this reputation as a nice guy, and eventually I made it to second tier F1. Now, it was a very simple system, and it was just, if nothing else, a prototype. Everything about F1 was a prototype. The weather system, the graphics, everything about it. But, you know, it raises an interesting idea of, we talk about sponsorships. What if sponsorships were about more than just coming in first, but about being a good racer?
Well, not just that. I mean, that is part of racing in itself, but you're also getting really into the drama of F1, because F1
exactly.
is so much more than just racing. It is the technology. It is the brands behind the technology. It is probably even more than NASCAR these days about, you know, selling the supercar brands and selling technology to
and
all
trash talking your teammate.
And who knows how far you could take it? Maybe if you rammed someone off the road, that cues a cutscene after the race of that guy coming up to you and saying,
shoving
you. Shoving you and saying, "What the fuck did you do that for?" Maybe you make AI that's so good that the next time you're racing with that guy, he remembers you cut him off and he runs you off the road.
Driver had that exact thing. If you ran a guy off the road really brutally, it would actually have a cutscene after the race where that guy got pissed off at you and starting to fight. And he would remember it in the rest of the series, and he would take you out. He would legitimately just pit you right there and spin you.
Oh, man. You know, I remember there was a game that was like a spin-off from Ridge Racer, but it was like a sim kind of Ridge Racer.
Because that's what I think of.
It had where if you would get behind someone, and just stay real close to them for a while. They'd get spooked and go off the road. I loved that.
Yeah,
I never passed anyone legitimately. Spooked them all.
From a purely cynical perspective, the idea of games that don't generally have narratives having narratives is nothing but beneficial. More people would buy, with the PSN down, people are still coming and buying Mortal Kombat because they know it has a story mode, because they know they don't have to play it online. And I think racing games, especially sim racing games like Forza that seem so goddamn imposing, would garner a lot more attention if there was some kind of narrative to hook a general audience.
Yeah, if you could bill it as the driving RPG.
Yeah, it's Mass Effect, put it in the blurb. It's Mass Effect 2 with cars.
Yep. Exactly. And I should note just real quick that PAX, you run a GameStop in your area.
Yes, yeah. I work at a GameStop. I'm sorry in advance.
Don't worry about that. I just wanted to make that clear because we had sort of been toying or dancing around the subject. But, yeah, you get to see this stuff firsthand sales-wise and everything.
Yeah, people come into my store and they come up to me and they say, hey, is Mortal Kombat any good? And I say, it's brilliant, you should buy it. And they say, okay, well, I'm buying it on PS3. And I'm like, okay, well, the PSN's down. And they tell me, I hear there's a story mode, and I hear it's very good. And, there's nothing untrue about that statement.
And we've kind of been given Codemasters a lot of fellatio here tonight, which is fine. And on that note, I do want to switch our focus just at least for a little bit in talking about Dirt 3, which is coming out here in a week or two.
Yes.
My balls.
I know you both are really looking forward to that. You especially, Pax.
Very much so. Yes, yeah. I've been a Codemasters fanboy. I have never bought anything. I bought Fuel the day of and wasn't even
God.
Mad. I wasn't even mad. I was like, you know what? This isn't Codemasters. Like, when Dirt 2 came out a few months later, I was like, bought it first day because that is how much I love what these guys do.
Wow.
Even their failures.
What was your first Codemasters game?
Grid. Grid was my first Codemasters
game. I played Colin McRae Rally 2.
Oh,
what? You're right. Way after the third one came out.
Like, I forgot that they've always had that license. Yes, yep. Colin McRae 04 was actually my first Codemasters game.
Okay.
But the first game I played where I then became a Codemasters fanboy was Grid. Because that I was old enough to pay attention to developers.
And obviously it brought a lot of dedication out of you, because buying Fuel day one, my God, that is dedicated.
I was so psyched. I heard
that
everything
game
about it.
That could have been
really
cool.
Yeah, it should have been. Like, there were ideas floating around in that game that were – and that's the thing about Codemasters that's so great, is that even their failures are interesting.
Yep.
Like, they fail in interesting ways. It's like, this doesn't work, but this is still a game that you
can – I can see what they were going for.
Yeah, and people still talk about Fuel and say, like, this is by no means a good game, but look what they did. This is so neat. So with Dirt 3, I think just before we started recording the podcast, me and Trace talked briefly about the new trailer, which is celebrating B Group. And for those of you not in the know, B Group was a sort of the higher tier of Rally at one point, and they were brilliant cars, purpose-built for their
lethal,
cast.
Lethal, literally.
And they were lethal. This was the problem, is they ended in 1986. The FISA decided that they needed to shut down B Group because people were dying in these cars. They were too goddamn powerful.
Cut down in its prime, the career of the RS200.
I don't mean to get really sentimental here, but if someone came to me tomorrow and said, justify racing games to me as someone who – like, justify racing games as a whole, I would point to Dirt 3 just because they are letting you do exactly what racing games should do and do at their best, which is drive your fantasies. And this isn't just a fantasy in that it's very expensive and you're not a millionaire and you'll never be able to afford that Lamborghini. These cars don't exist anymore. They can't exist anymore.
They
shouldn't exist anymore because they'll kill you if you get in one.
Yeah, it's like the a Grand Prix Legends, essentially, of dirt racing. Let's go to a time that was so dangerous and so lethal, and now you get to experience it and get to have a better understanding of what, like, I don't know what the drivers in the off-road stuff, but obviously, like, the equivalents of the Jim Clarks and the, God, of course, Senna. Well, the Senna whatnot wasn't back in the 60s, but...
Yeah.
Graham Hill.
Yeah, basically, Graham, yeah, there you go. I'm not good
Bruce McLaren, I don't know. Somebody like that.
But this is exactly what racing games are for, is to give people who... Like, all these new American Rally fans who are only fans of Ken Block and Travis Pastrana...
They have no idea.
They have no idea, but this game could give them an appreciation, because it still has their douchey Ken Block, Gymkhana, whatever. But within that is a history lesson, a real history lesson. My grandfather used to drive Rally, and he drove during the era of the B Group, and it's really touching that these guys would take the time to advertise and really push the fact that this group was so important and such a great time for Rally, and that there was a reason that it stopped, and that this stuff really happened. We were driving cars that were killing us, but we did it because we loved them, and we still love them. They're legends. The Audi Quattro, the Lancia Stratos, these cars are magnificent death traps.
Especially the Lancia Stratos.
Yes.
But here, God, that car needs to come back.
RS200 coming back.
It is coming back. Haven't you seen it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it needs to come back, like, sooner. Like, now. I want it driving all around, you know?
I want... Yeah. Ford already made a GT40 remake. I want an RS200 remake.
That would be so good. But I show that trailer, that B Group Lives trailer, actually plays on our DVD loop at my store.
Oh,
and
nice.
I show it. Not only do I show it to everyone who comes in and talks about racing games, just said, like, it's sort of a litmus test of, like, I come in and say, can you believe this? And if they go, I know, are you kidding? They're bringing back B Group? Put a pre-order on that for me. Or if they go, what the hell is B Group? Then, you know, you've captured something. And the trailer is perfect because it's somber and beautiful. It treats the cars like the legends they are. Does a good little history lesson. It's a great trailer.
Right.
But it... You know, it's brilliant, and I can't wait to get my hands on it, and I can't wait for people to get their hands on it, because this game could single-handedly justify Ken Block fans.
That's the thing. You can say all you want about Ken Block and all that, but he is doing one good thing, and that is bringing people into this game who might otherwise not play a racing game, and
that
people... The people who are making the game still care about legitimate traditional Rally and will push that part on there, too.
You know what I'd equate it to? It's like if someone, through Limp Bizkit, got into Led Zeppelin.
Oh, God.
It's like, holy shit, why did you listen to that? But at the same time, you know, yeah, Limp Bizkit is lame, and I understand that now. But because Fred Durst said, I love Led Zeppelin, I got into Led Zeppelin and became a better person.
I still like to break stuff sometimes.
But here's my question about that. And, I mean, Group B is awesome, and I know there's going to be a lot of the hooning and Gymkhana stuff. Do you think they're going to be able to take all these different various types, because they're still going to have the different forms of Rally, I'm sure. I'm sure whether they want to or not, they're still going to have some truck stuff, probably some other sort of thing, modern Rally cars, naturally. And I'm sure they're going to try and get the Global Rallycross Championship pushed through there, because that's really what they're trying to take from Rally America. Take the old American Rally stuff and move it to the Rallycross and try and get it so that Rally cars can now be in stadiums running courses like that. But my question is, how do you take all of that and you make it into a good story narrative like you would with Grid or with all that stuff? And how do you make it so that it's something that would be as compelling as, say, almost Mortal Kombat story or something that would keep a player playing single player?
I played through the whole Dirt 2 single player, even though they repeated the same six courses over and over again. All they have to do is just that, but with more variation of courses.
Yeah, I think they could go even further. I think they could go even further. I think that one of the things that has always attracted me personally to car culture is the drama of it.
Yeah,
You hear, like Ayrton Senna, like just... Thinking about that man's life brings a tear to my eye.
Yes, absolutely.
And like that's that's what car video games can do, is they can sort of, they bring the culture to your living room, and that's what Dirt 3 is attempting to do. I really think that there's going to be quite a bit more of a focus on Rally as a legacy, because Dirt 2, for all its douchey Mountain Dew bullshit, there's actually a hidden piece of content. When you get to a certain level in the game, it stops and plays a short documentary about the life of Colin McRae, and it's so touching. It's a beautiful little piece, and after.
That's course, even an achievement for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right after, of course, you know, it goes back. You really nailed that somber, touching scene, bro. But
two girls, one cup, bro. Two cups.
Yeah, one girl, two cups. Don't mess it up. The other one's kind of disgusting.
A little bit.
So I think, and you know, I think for all the problems that people, and they're legitimate problems that Ken Block brings, there, I think the Dirt people, the people behind at Codemasters, have such respect for that sport. Like,
yeah,
clearly.
They do.
Like,
so basically, they just got to draw that out and show that they're trying to honor what was in the sport and what it has been and now what it's, you know, becoming, and that it's sort of get that whole timeline going properly. And
yeah,
show
there's
this is what it's led up to, is allowing people like this, allowing douchebags like Ken Block to jump their cars over a Joker jump and then drink their Mountain Dew while they wear their DC shoes.
Monster,
yeah,
dude.
Not that aggressive. Not
oh,
that
no,
aggressive.
Of course not that aggressive. I'm just biased as fuck.
Yes, I know. Obviously, there has to be some reconciliation about, you know, that. But
the thing is, the modern douchey show-off stuff that we don't like in real life works excellently in a video game.
That is true.
It's a good gamey type of mechanic.
And I'm going to say something probably controversial, but there are aspects of Ken Block that I see in old footage of Colin McRae. That guy was crazy. The shit he did was showy and impressive and garrulous. And
he's just a better driver.
He was just a better driver. And there is that sort of thinking of, like, Colin McRae got sponsors because he was a showman.
He would do a barrel roll and then keep going.
He didn't win a lot of championships. He wasn't Wayne Gretzky. He was, you know...
Wreckers or checkers.
Yeah, he was the Harlem Globetrotters, you know? He was there for the show, and that's what people loved about him.
Also, I should say that Wayne Gretzky was a hell of a rally car driver.
Mario Lemieux was a better one, and if he didn't get, like, super cancer, he would have had way more rally chances.
Man, nobody... super cancer? What the hell, man? I just got to say, nobody even looked at him in his rally car career, but Steve Eisman was a pretty good rallier.
Yeah,
he's a better team owner, though.
The captain, yes, he is.
Yeah,
I talked
to my grandfather about Ken Block and all this, and my grandfather is very impressed with Ken Block. He says he's a very good driver. He's not he's not a very good rallier, but the great thing about rally and the thing that makes rally different from every other kind of motorsport is that you don't have to be great at the sport to be great in the sport, in the context of the sport.
And I guess I really should, to sort of give a fair shake to the people I constantly mock, the Ken Blocks and the David Miras and the types, that in reality, you have to be a crazy motherfucker to get up into the top tiers of racing. And they are really good at being crazy motherfuckers, especially since they've been through the X Games and that sort of shit that entails. So yeah, they're going to be really good at that.
Yeah.
No matter what you say, I think the tearing down of the prestige of rally that some people see Ken Block is doing is almost worth it, because we need new faces more than we need honor and glory. We need young kids to appreciate this sport and the beauty of it in order to keep going. And
yeah.
And nothing, no one can take away the fact that Ken Block is an immensely skilled driver.
Right. And an immensely skilled marketer. He's bringing fans in with every crazy YouTube video he makes, more so than his mediocre results.
And his YouTube videos aren't CGI. He's not faking it. The man can control a car like a ballerina controls her feet. And as douchey as he is in terms of just what kind of culture he's bringing to rally, he's bringing something else important to Rally, and that's pizzazz. That's that unattainable X factor of people of getting eyes on it. Top Gear always sort of characterizes Rally as something that was once great, but is now something sort of relegated for nerds and geeks, until Ken Block came along and went on their show, and now Rally is once again something cool, something other car guys love, because it's crazy. It's madness.
And by the way, rich people who are maybe not the best drivers at their chosen type of racing have been racing in professional events since the 1900s.
Oh yeah, no, there's no denying that. Rich people permeate the sport. That's going to always be a given. But I guess for me, it's not so much that, you know, Ken Block could bring the douchiness as much as it's coming down to a more lowest common denominator, where I think it was last year at the X Games where their rally courses were like hairpins galore up and down the LA Coliseum, which is not cool. But
they definitely went too far. They definitely totally fucked that up.
There's a difference between turning this into Monster Jam and turning it into a really crazy, over-the-top rally course, which I would appreciate. I'd love it if they turned it into something like what you see for the LA Coliseum track in Dirt 2.
Wait, so they're going to crush cars with the next X Games? I'm back on board.
They don't even really crush cars in Monster Jam anymore. It's just they do like drag racing, then go around hairpin, you do jumps over already crushed cars.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Sponsored Monster
by Best Buy.
You know, Monster Patrol wins or Gravedigger wins, I don't know.
No. The AutoZone Auto Crusher wins because they're all sponsored now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Thanks, Live Nation.
I am looking forward to Dirt 3. I'm very skeptical about some parts of it, but you know, it's getting over that douchiness, and I hope they can make a narrative out of it.
Didn't somebody say there would be team racing when they were doing the TNT?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's kind of a narrative. Also,
that adds a little
narrative.
They did team racing in Grid. And it sometimes worked. Hopefully the AI is a bit better.
Yeah.
And we'll see.
I guess there was some of that in Dirt 2 also.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just sort of like, hey, I'm Ken Block. You want to team up, bro? Like, it wasn't like you have a, like, what they need is something like a lot of sports games have this where they've developed AI that learns from you.
Yeah.
So sort of learns how to act depending on your racing style, and either it you need a teammate who either mimics your racing style or supports the holes in your racing style.
Yeah, either that or turn into like take the F1 2010 conversational stuff and turn it into where it's not just, you know, okay, I'm racing along them and they're giving me points too and they're doing their own thing. Turn it into sort of a relationship thing where you can bag on your teammate or try and support them. You know, and just sort of try and get more interactivity so you feel like you're actually making an impact on how the hell your AI dumbass is doing.
Sure, yeah, for sure.
We should be consultants for Codemasters.
We should be consultants, period. We need to – actually, yes. I guess neither of you are going to PAX Prime, but I know Kevel, one of our other top drivers from Forza Race Night, is probably going to be joining me in Seattle. And I hope that Brian Ekberg of Turn 10 is there because we need to have a talk with him about helping out with Forza 4. And by that, I mean we want free copies of Forza 4.
I think they'd do it. I honestly think if you went up and said we run the Giant Bomb Race Night, they might be inclined because they seem to love us. Like, they put us on Twitter.
You know,
they always seem pretty impressed with us.
I think they'd be willing to talk to us about some of our ideas, but I don't think it'd go any further than that, to be honest. But I don't care. If I give you a free T-shirt out of it, I'd be thrilled.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, I don't know what else there is to talk about, but I think we've covered a good hour and a half or maybe an hour or so of talking about
over an
awesome
hour.
Narratives and a lot more Codemasters and Forza tonight.
Emails.
Actually, I probably can get an email address together somewhere where if people want to email us questions.
ndbxr.metv.net.comcast.hotmail.gmail.clearchannel.
How about not
AOL, AOL keyword shut up, Slober.
Actually, we do have an email address. I have it set aside for other purposes, but I could use it very well for this as well. GiantBombForza, that's all one word. GiantBombForza@gmail.com. If you have any comments on the show, if you have any questions, we'd be glad to talk to you about racing technique. You can just email us and tell us how wrong we are about that whole Ken Block thing, or otherwise.
Or send him donkey porn.
Or you could just PM one of us on Giant Bomb. I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably are on Giant Bomb. You know who I am, PSEG or SEG on the boards as a moderator. We'd be glad to take your questions. We'd be glad to discuss anything people would want to hear about. So, by all means, contact us. Let us know what you want to hear and what questions you have.
Send us Walgreens spam if you want.
Oh, God, no, hope not. I don't use Walgreens. I like CVS.
I don't need medicine, for I am metal.
See, I need medicine because I had a freaking month-long sinus infection. That is not fun. Yeah. You need antibiotics for that.
Or robot sinuses.
I don't have robot sinuses. Mine are very weak and susceptible to allergies.
I feel like I should say before we leave this first podcast for anyone who is listening to this podcast and saying, they didn't talk about Forza enough, well, this podcast is for and about the Forza Race Night community. All three of us and everyone in Forza, we play more than one game. And this, I think this podcast, like Forza Race Night, works best in a loose format where we, for the next however long we keep this podcast going on a weekly or biweekly or whatever basis, don't just expect, you know, your standard, we're just going to talk about Forza. News will come up, racing game news will come up, racing game opinions, car opinions, certainly talk about Top Gear, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Jersey Shore.
No. Yeah.
Once the new Top Gear season for both U.S.
Royal and Wedding
starts again, we'll.
I mentioned them. That means you can list them in your search results to get more YouTube Google hits on this podcast now. Son of a bitch! Royal Wedding, Royal Wedding, Royal Wedding. How about now?
None of this is arable. Anyway, my point is. This podcast is as open a format as we can have.
Right.
We don't just want to talk about one game.
It's under the GNU license. Open source podcast.
Shut up!
Yeah, really, man. Honestly, we're just going to be talking probably about anything racing, anything cars. That's putting it in summary, because I'm sure in the next few weeks we're going to talk about Dirt 3 even more. We're going to talk about the Indy 500 as that gets closer, because that's going to be interesting.
Yep.
And certainly over the next weeks, a little bit of Formula 1, and probably through all that, a little bit of Forza 3 and Forza 4, which hopefully we get more details on that soon. Because
you mean Forza?
Dear God. You need to stay out of marketing there, Slowbird.
When Dirt 3 comes out, I'm sure I'll write a full review, as I did for Dirt 2. And we'll probably discuss it on the podcast.
Oh, yeah,
that happens in 2 weeks.
We're going to talk about that for sure.
So
yeah, for that, I think we can wrap this up. Thank both of you for joining me in this. I really do appreciate it. And hopefully this is all airable. I don't know. I'll have to get the WAV file out and the MP3 file out and start editing and see what we can make out of this.
You're all sick.
So for PAX and for Slowbird, I am Seg, and I thank you all for listening to us. And until next time, we are Race Night.
Somebody get this freaking duck away from me.
Shut up!